Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When someone exhibits great emotional endurance through all kinds of adversity, trials, and tribulations, we often say that that person has the patience of Job, even though their suffering does not even come close to the intensity and misery suffered by the biblical Job. But Job's story teaches us how fragile life is in this vale of tears. Job was a real man. He lived in a real place at a certain point in history. And the Bible says he was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Scripture says that he was a wealthy man, possessing so many flocks and herds and servants, that he was the greatest of all the people in the East. He had 10 children whom he deeply loved. And these children, each of them on their birthdays, would hold a grand feast that would last for several days. And when the feast came to a close, as spiritual head of the household, Job showed us how a Christian father leads his family, a godly way of parenting. He would offer a burnt offering to God on behalf of his children and pray for them, because in his words, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. You can say at that point of Job's life, he was sailing along in luxury on smooth seas, until one day at God's hidden wisdom, God allowed Satan to test Job. And in that single day, great calamity fell upon Job's children and all his possessions, virtually wiping out everything that Job ever held dear. Yet Job's response to all this tragedy was, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, then it's as if God was going to allow injury to add to insult. He allowed Satan to attack Job's health. Loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, leaving Job to sit in ashes and scrape at his sores with a broken piece of pottery. And as Job held fast to his faith, his wife demanded that he curse God and die. But Job said to her, "Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" Scripture says that in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. But as the days wore on and he had three aggravating friends that kept chiming in, the aggravation of all his troubles and the cynical advice from his friends caused Job to directly accuse God of not being fair to him. God was being cruel to him. Job did not think he deserved the burden that was being placed upon his shoulders. Job was self-righteous. He thought he deserved better. Our Old Testament lesson this morning, we hear the climax of the book of Job, where God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind, questioning Job, "Put on your big boy pants, Job, and answer me if you dare." Rhetorical questions that God illustrated to Job the depth of the riches and wisdom of God's knowledge, and how unsearchable are his judgments and inscrutable his ways. The book of Job teaches us the wisdom of listening to and patiently waiting for God, trusting in our Lord to declare us righteous, vindicate us in our sufferings, and above all, to teach us to trust in the Lord to save us. Now, we must remember that God does not send evil into the world. Sickness and suffering come from the devil. Yet, whatever happens, what the believer cannot see in the background, is God working through the devil's evil ways to bring about good. God is always accomplishing his righteous purposes, even in the midst of your suffering. And as you well know, no one is immune to the storms of life that test your faith. Let me tell you about a pious and God-fearing Lutheran couple named Jean and Rose Marie. God blessed them with 6 sons. And while he blessed them with these 6 sons, one of them died at 3 weeks old due to kidney failure. A second died in an automobile accident at age 23. A third died in a snowmobile accident at age 18. Jean and Rosemary are not anomalies to suffering and grief. I tell you this to remind you that life is fragile, living in this veil of tears, even for those strong of faith. There is suffering in the places that you would never dream of. Perhaps you've lived living in paradise. Save up your money, move away, get your own private island out in paradise somewhere. Well, just like with Job, in the blink of an eye, it can all be taken away. As you heard on the news this week, in God's hidden wisdom, he has allowed wildfires to sweep through the Hawaiian island of Maui, reducing homes to ash, chasing the people out into the ocean in hopes of saving their lives. So far, the death toll rises. Over 90 have been lost. But to be sure, God is working in the background. He is working through the rescue workers. He is working through the survivors. His will be done. Maybe your storms of life come in the form of religious persecution. As I said a few months ago, Christian persecution in America right now is higher than at any other point in our nation's history. And life is difficult when you have to sail against the wind and the waves of culture, sailing and battling against the storms of living in a sinful world. Life can be frightening when our country's moral compass appears to be broken and spinning out of control. Indeed, you do face waves of adversity. You find yourselves in tempestuous seas. You can go for weeks at a time enjoying smooth and calm waters, but then it seems when you least expect it comes the storms, day after day with nothing but stormy seas. And you get out your paddle and you stroke and paddle and strive into the wind and the waves as hard as you can. But they press against you, making headway impossible. As you face natural disasters, be they earthquakes, tornadoes, wildfires, when you face untimely deaths of loved ones, like Jean and Rosemary and so many others that we know, or when you endure religious persecution from an unbelieving world. Because all it takes is one phone call. All it takes is one little phrase to turn your world upside down. A little test of your faith to morph into a complete lack of faith. Storms of life come in little phrases like, "Mom fell and she's in the hospital." Phrases like, "Well, sir, some people have good recovery from a stroke like yours." Or, "Your job has been eliminated. You have 20 minutes to clean out your desk." Or, "Kids, I'm sorry, but your mom and dad cannot no longer live together." Remember, Job didn't think he deserved all the burden that was placed upon his shoulders. In his self-righteousness, he thought he deserved better. In your self-righteousness and mine, we feel that we deserve better. But the fact is, all you and I truly deserve is God's eternal damnation and his condemnation because of our trespasses against him. Due to your inherited sin from Adam, your moral compass is broken and spinning out of control, leaving in your wake a host of sins, the things that you have done and the things that you have left undone. In our gospel text today, Jesus tests his disciples. Jesus is omniscient. He knows what's going to happen out on the lake. So what does he do? Our text says he makes the disciples get into the boat. Doesn't tell them there's going to be a storm. Here, disciples, get in the boat. Go to the other side and I'll meet you over there. He knows the wind and the waves would be against them. But he sends them out so he could reveal to them exactly who he is. That he is the Son of God, the Christ, true God in the flesh, who has authority over all creation. Now, unlike a previous instance when the storm caused the disciples to be afraid, it's interesting in this text today, they're going against the wind and the waves. They're fishermen. They're used to it. They're not afraid. It's only when they see Jesus walking on the water that they fear. They're wet and exhausted and windblown. These fishermen think they see a ghost, and they cry out. And Jesus quickly puts them at ease, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter had been traveling with Jesus for 2 years. Wouldn't you know someone and their voice in the darkness? Well, Peter's faith was not strong enough to recognize Jesus and his words. So it's one thing to doubt, but he said, "Jesus, prove to me who you are. Call me out on the water." As if Jesus walking on the water already wasn't a miracle in itself. But Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. So Jesus reached out and took hold of him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Life is fragile in this world. And worse than that, your faith is even more fragile. The storms of this life tempt you to take your eyes off of Jesus. It tempts you to take your eyes off of Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. And when you lose sight of Christ, this Christ right here, Christ and him crucified for you, you lose sight of your forgiveness, lose sight of your salvation. The waves overwhelm you, and the winds beat you down, and you become in danger of sinking deeper and deeper into sin, doubt, and despair. Job demanded God give him a reason for his sufferings. He thought he deserved better. God responded to him out of a whirlwind, not with answers, but with questions that we heard in our text. God's rhetorical questions demonstrated to Job and to us the power God has over creation and his continued providence in a broken and sinful world. As for Peter, he disbelieved that it was Jesus walking on the water. He disbelieved that it was Jesus' voice speaking to him out on the water. So Peter demanded proof. Peter deserved better, asking Jesus to call him out onto the water, but in his weak faith, taking his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And you and me, in our weakness, beaten by the wind and the waves, in lack of faith, you too demand proof. You demand answers. You think you do not deserve it. But our Lord says to you, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Scripture teaches us that our Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. When you are floundering in the water and drowning, cry out the words of St. Peter, Lord, save me. Jesus reaches his hand out and grabs hold of you. Before you're swept under, he lifts you out of the swirling waves, the waves of doubt and despair. He pulls you out of the seas of your sin and your shame, and he draws you to himself into the boat, the holy ark of Christ's church, where we gather together, and we're all in this boat together. This is where he offers you healing and hope, forgiveness of sins, and his life-saving grace. It is true, we are indeed in this boat together. Yet Jesus walks through the winds and the troubled waters of each of your individual adversities to heal the brokenness and the weakness of your faith. And he brings to you all the blessings that he has earned for you on Calvary's cross, where he stretched out his hands for you. And it's with those same nail-pierced hands that he reaches down to you in the mud and in the mire to pull you out of your transgression, and he restores you with the forgiveness of sins, those sins caused by your broken moral compass, your sins of what you have done and left undone. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus strengthens your faith and grants you the sure hope of everlasting life. Just earlier here, you and the rest of our saints, you cried out, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus does have mercy on you. He comes to you in the preaching of his word and in his sacraments to give you the assurance that he is with you and he will never forsake you, girding you up to withstand the winds and the waves, the doubt and the despair. He assures you that he has already borne your griefs and carried your sorrows. He strengthens you to face all of the challenges and the trials of this fragile life. When you find yourself floundering in stormy seas and the waves crashing in, cry out, Lord, have mercy. Lord, save me. Fix your eyes on Christ Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. It was his joy to endure the cross to save you from your sin and transgression. Fix your eyes on him who saved you by his death on the cross, who adopted you in baptismal waters, and who continues to call you to faith in the gospel. In baptism, in the washing of the water and the word, you have put on Christ. It was there that you were clothed with his righteousness, the righteousness of the one who has defeated sin and death and the devil. All the tempestuous seas in the world can do nothing to harm you. You are safe. The worst thing that can happen is that something in this world throws you into the arms of your Savior, and you will live with him forever in eternity with blessedness and peace. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.